And now,
great to be back.
Back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
Awesome.
And your host, Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. My next guest is in the business of tourism. He has the scoop on many of Hollywood's actors and legends. He's compiled his accumulated knowledge into a fascinating book titled Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. Stephen Showhead is a tour guide in Hollywood who began researching and telling colorful anecdotes about Tinseltown to his customers years ago. Stephen is the host of the syndicated one-minute radio feature called Hollywood Stories and is the author and narrator of two audiobooks, Tales of Hollywood and Fascinating Walt Disney. Joining us from no less than Hollywood. Hi, Stephen. How are you doing today?
Hey, Bill. I'm doing great. Thanks for the nice introduction.
Well, thank you for being our guest here on the show. And let's just start with your current profession. You're a Hollywood tour guide, so you see lots and lots of movie fans crazed over celebrities. What's our fascination with movie stars based on your experience?
Well, I think there's always been a mystery to watching movies that you see these people up there on the screen, and if you're not involved in it, you wonder about it. I think if you go back to the earliest days of the movies, there were even people who thought that the people they saw on the screen might not be real, that they might be ghosts, that when Sid Grauman, who built the Egyptian Theater, he came up with the idea of the Hollywood movie premiere. Back in 1922, and it blocked traffic for miles and miles around because the idea of having some kind of accessibility to seeing Douglas Fairbanks in the movie Robin Hood just thrilled people. And I think that goes on today, although I think it's a little less mystique than you had back then, because I think obviously we do know more, and there are many more media outlets and things have definitely changed.
Well, no doubt about that. How did you get started giving Hollywood tours?
Well, what happened was I got out of college with some uncertainty, and I wanted to be a writer. And so I got a job as a limousine driver, and I figured I could write while I was waiting for people waiting for people in the limousine. And part of the job was being asked to give tours. And so I started to learn things. And I thought, you know, I got pretty good feedback. I tried to make it entertaining and anecdotal, and I said, you know, I'd rather do this full time than be a limousine driver and drive from A to B, because this seems to require more thinking. And so I got the job as a tour guide. And what I really liked about it was that we were not bound to any particular narration, as long as we didn't have complaints from the people. We could pretty well go in whatever direction we wanted with the material that we were presenting, and I just found the whole thing absolutely fascinating. And I had a friend in the tour company, and another gentleman whose name was Ivan. And during our breaks, we would meet and share information with each other, and it was almost like this. It was like this clandestine thing. You know, we were joking around about it. Like, he'd say, "Hey, Steve, man, you know what, man? I just found out that Thomas Edison owned all the patents on the movie camera, man. I can't believe it." Yeah, those people like Goldwyn, they were running away from Edison, man. They were outlaws, you know, but don't tell anybody except the customers, you know. And so anyway, we just, just tried to make it fun and anecdotal. And eventually what happened was I collected so many anecdotes, I continue to collect them. I had the idea that they could be told anywhere, and that's what led me to write the book Hollywood Story.
My guest is Stephen Showhead. He is the author, as he said, of Hollywood Stories. So, Steve, in your work, day-to-day work, are you finding the tourists are more interested in the current Hollywood stars or the older stars?
I think it's both. You know, to be honest with you, it's really tough to say because there's a lot of times I'll do a tour and I'll mention movies like I Love You, Man, or something like that, and the older crowd might not have heard of them, and then I'll mention John Wayne, and the younger person might say, "Who's John Wayne?" So, you know, it's kind of tough to find a balance sometimes, but I think that's why what I try and focus on is finding anecdotes that are interesting regardless of the time period when they happen. And hopefully if the material is interesting, then everything will flow from there. One of the best compliments I got on the book was from a mom who's my age, 50, who told me that her 9-year-old son had read the book and didn't know a lot about a lot of the older stars, but still found the stories really interesting. And so that's, to me, where I try and go. And of course, there are always, people that you could talk about that maybe everybody's heard, like a Walt Disney,
sure,
for example, who seems contemporary, even though he died in 1966. But generally speaking, there doesn't seem to be a preference, a major preference from one group to the other. I've had younger people ask me, where can they find James Stewart's star on Hollywood Boulevard? So, it's hard to say.
It's hard to pin down. Well, Stephen, let me say that Louis B. Mayer once said that he has more stars than there are in the heavens. But in your book, you've got over 1,000 stories about movie stars. From where did all these stories come? I mean, you just accumulated them over the years. How authentic are they, and how do you know that they're authentic?
Well, first of all, what I tried to do is, something was possibly apocryphal, I tried to let the reader know to the best, the best I could. So I called the book a combination of history, history, biography, and lore. An example was, one of my favorite books to research was David Niven's Bring on the Empty Horses, which was one of the it's in the bibliography. And in that book, David Niven had a story about Tyrone Power entertaining his children at Christmas time, 1947, by dressing up like Santa Claus, and he apparently had to get Tyrone Power very drunk to do it, because he was a nervous wreck, had big stage fright. But once he got into character as Santa Claus, he started doing a great job and having a good time. And Gary Cooper's daughter Maria was there, and David Niven was like, "Ho ho ho." Little girl, you tell your dad that Santa really liked him in High Noon. Ho, ho, ho. Hey, little girl, you think you can get your dad to get Santa Grace Kelly's phone number while you're at it? Ho, ho, ho. Well, the problem with that story was, he said it was Christmas 1947, and High Noon was released in 1952. So, I try and let the reader know. Now, another thing that I tried to do was make every story fresh. For example, I didn't know much about Marlene Dietrich, but I wanted to do a story about her. So I was going over the internet, and I found this old People magazine article which talked about how Marlene Dietrich told her husband Rudy late in life that she could have stopped World War II, that Hitler wanted to marry her, and that would have ended the whole thing. And Rudy said, you're right, the Fuhrer would have killed himself a lot sooner. and so as soon as I have that, to me, that's the ending of the story. So then I go to other sources and try and find out biographical information, like how Marlene Dietrich didn't like being in movies, and how she was really moved performing for the troops in World War II, and how she was accused of being an Axis spy, and how Hitler wanted her to return to Germany, and all these different things. I put in the lead-in to the story, which is short, but hopefully packs the punch and is full of information. So I try to go to multiple sources and keep things fresh. And there were also, besides all the books, like I read about over 500 books and all the interviews that I listened to, and lots of online sources. I also had people tell me stories as well.
That is great. My guest is Stephen Showett. He's author of the book Hollywood Stories. Some fascinating stories in there. But what I liked about your book, Stephen, is that you managed to avoid the lurid and the salacious stories about the stars. Was that a conscious decision on your part? Tell us about that.
100%. I mean, first of all, I try to do something unique, and that stuff is out there for anybody who wants to. I mean, the lurid stuff is out there for anybody who wants to research it. So I really wanted to give a fresh take. And the cover of the book has a bunch of movie stars sort of joyfully with tickets about to go into a movie theater with the marquee Hollywood Stories. And my attitude was, I want to publish a book that those people, the movie stars themselves, would enjoy, and a lot of the stories actually came from them. you know, watching interviews and things like that. Like you know, Shirley Temple in her book, Child Star, had the story about how she had the Shirley Temple badges and she would pass them out, but she had this edict that they had to be worn at all times, and if you didn't wear them in public, money had to be given to charity. And then Mrs. Roosevelt asked her for one, and Shirley explained, "Well, if I give you one, or actually two, for Mrs. Roosevelt's granddaughters," she said, "Well, if I give you two, then you have to do as the rules." And then later, when Shirley Temple was visiting the Roosevelt family in Hyde Park, the granddaughters were not wearing the badges, and so that was a breach of protocol. So Shirley had to make her point. So she had a slingshot that she used to carry around with her, and when Mrs. Roosevelt wasn't looking, she took a pellet and nailed the first lady in the rear.
Ow.
Luckily for her, the Secret Service didn't see, but her mother, Gertrude, did see, and Shirley got walloped back at the hotel, but she still felt she did the right thing.
My guess.
I mean, obviously she put that story out there, so, you know, there are lots of stories that hopefully that would, that the people involved would enjoy.
Well, my guest is Stephen Showett, and definitely they're enjoyable stories. You start out the book with a contemporary actor, comedian today. You start with a story about Jim Carrey. Tell us that, will you please?
Yeah, that was one of those stories that I was told on the tour, and I thought it was the wildest star-spotting story that I ever heard. It didn't happen to me, unfortunately, but the gentleman on my city tour, the day before, he had gone to Universal Studios and gone on that tour with his family. And so they go by where Alfred Hitchcock made the movie Psycho, and the tour guide was talking about the movie and how it was shot, and all of a sudden a man came up from behind the Bates Motel with a wig and a dress and a knife. And everybody's laughing until the tour guide said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know who this man is, and he's not part of the tour." And now everybody's kind of alarmed because this man looks like a maniac, and he's running toward the tram, yelling and screaming, raises the knife, people start screaming, and he took off the wig, and it was Jim Carrey. He was making the movie up there, The Man on the Moon, had a little downtime, and decided to scare everyone half to death. And then the nice part of the story was he took pictures and signed autographs. And so there were a lot of stories to choose from, but I thought that was a good one in setting up the tone for the book, that, you know, anything can happen, but it's going to be fun. It's not going to be salacious, like you said, and it's going to be packed with a lot of information. And there's also, vintage stuff with Hitchcock and Psycho, so that it seemed like a good one to start with.
Now, something for everybody. My guest is Stephen Showett, author of the book Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes from the Stars and Legends of the Movies. You devote an entire chapter to Walt Disney, and you have an audio book also about Walt Disney. What's your fascination with Walt? Why is he so instrumental in not only Hollywood, but in your life as well, Stephen?
For me, it's the entrepreneurial thing. Those are the Horatio Alger aspect of it, that rags to riches, come to town with nothing and pull off all these amazing things. And that was one thing. And the other thing was that I was just amazed and fascinated that he always had to try something bigger. Like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, for example, in 1937, partly inspired because when he made the Three Little Pigs, the short cartoon, in 1933, he was told by the banks, "Give us more pigs," and the banks and the distributors. And he made two sequels to the Three Little Pigs, and they didn't go anywhere. It didn't make money, and the idea of repeating himself, he just couldn't stand. He always had a saying, "You can't follow pigs with pigs," and so he felt that in order to survive, he was going to have to charge more money for each movie to the movie theaters, and the only way you could do that was to make features, not a short. But it was a tremendous risk. And then Disneyland, of course, was a tremendous risk. I mean, now it looks like a genius idea, but while he was doing it, his wife, his brother, I mean, they thought he'd be ruined. In fact, they had similar thoughts about Snow White. So, and then after Snow White in 1937, you had Fantasia, Pinocchio, and Bambi, which were even bigger, more ambitious projects, and then they all flopped in their first releases. They were all money losers in the States, and he couldn't get world overseas distribution for them during World War II. So suddenly he was millions of dollars in debt and had to figure out ways to keep going, and he couldn't try anything bigger for a while because of the financial guillotine hanging over his head. So just the perseverance in business, and one of the biggest things about Disneyland that movies couldn't give him was that Disneyland was never finished. In his time, you didn't have DVD director's cuts. So with movies, once they were done, they were done. But Disneyland was never done, and he could constantly add to it. He used to call that plussing. So that gave him a creative fulfillment that the movies and the cartoons just didn't have after a certain point.
Yeah.
And so there were a lot of fascinating things.
There are. My guest is Stephen Choet, author of the book Hollywood Story, Short Entertaining Anecdotes from the Stars and Legends of the Movies. Stephen, you've probably piqued the interest of many of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
The easiest way is HollywoodStories.com. Not only does it have information about the book and the audio books, but also about the tours, about if people would like to hire me to come out and speak and tell some stories to their groups. There's just all sorts of stuff there. There's lots of articles and news interviews with me. So anyway, HollywoodStories.com. One word is the easiest way to find out about everything we've been talking about, HollywoodStories.com.
Stephen, it's been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
You got it, buddy.